Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
As they were walking in, I bumped into one of the VIPs here, who just happens to be the biggest news name in sports right now. That's Aaron Rodgers. We've heard of the story of Green Bay and what's going on with Aaron. He's here with his fiancée, Shalane Woodley, here this weekend. He didn't want to talk on camera. I can tell you, I characterize Aaron as disappointed that news has come out of this rift with the Packers. He expressed a couple of times how much he loves Green Bay, loves the fans, loves the franchise. There is a fissure, there is a chasm between management and the reigning NFL MVP. We're just not sure how this is going to play out. I'll watch closely over the next couple of weeks to see what we hear from the Packers side and when Aaron does speak. Interesting times ahead for sure in the National Football League this week.
I can tell you right now, number 8 in Minnesota is probably not real happy right now because Kellerman represents exactly what he doesn't do well, right? Kellerman's the big physical quarterback. He can run it, throw it all over the field. And I don't think that that's something that number 8 is able to do in Cousins in Minnesota. But I think that's what the coaching staff and the administration is looking for. Should I say the organization is looking for. Munn had a lot of inconsistencies in his game. And the biggest thing last year was, like Connor talked about, he actually improved drastically. But some NFL evaluators, looking over the course of all the years of his starts at Texas A&M, they're still a little skeptical about him. But I would tell you this, with great determination and great coaching, I think this is a guy that could be a real riser over the course of his career. And as you see, you know, Cousins has been collecting checks there in Minnesota for a long time, taking them to 8-8 and 9-7 seasons. If he has a bad start to the year like he did last year, I could see the fans and maybe the organization leaning towards Mund if he comes in and impresses.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh, that's a lot of fun to hear the quarterback go around in the NFC North. Our thanks to the fine folks at NBC for the Mike Tirico audio. He was at the Kentucky Derby and ran into Aaron Rodgers. If you haven't seen him, you got to go look online. You get a picture of him wearing his bowler hat, and he is there with his betrothed. Nice to see her in a beautiful hat, all the ladies wearing the nice hats, and Aaron Rodgers joining in, and our thanks to Bleacher Report for that audio. That is Robert Griffin III, RG3, who has, I believe, a lifetime earnings of around $20-30 million.
Not bad.
As opposed to Kirk Cousins,
well,
who is just under $200 million.
Yeah. David. $196 million. So you understand the bitterness that you hear in Robert Griffin III's voice, but he has done okay for himself. He has a Heisman Trophy that nobody can ever take away from him. I understand the animosity that's impossible for him to conceal. Kirk Cousins has been a little bit better in Minnesota than he's giving him credit for, Mully. A couple of years ago, I think that they, you know, they were in the NFC Championship game. Lost to the Eagles, but have things gone as well as they wanted to for Kirk Cousins in Minnesota? Probably not. He's made a ton of money. But the bigger picture, as you point out, all this quarterback unrest in the NFC North, the forgotten one, Jared Goff in Detroit, the diva in Green Bay, north of the Cheddar Curtain, as Dustin likes to say, and then Kirk Cousins having to deal with a draft pick in Kellen Mond that creates a little bit of uncertainty there. If I had to ask you which quarterback situation in the NFC North you feel best about over the next 3 to 5 years, what team would it be? Who would you answer?
It's hard to believe the answer. It's very amusing. You know what I love, though, and I love this, the idea that the Minnesota Vikings were ready to move up to get Justin Fields and the Bears beat them to it. Yeah. That is just fantastic news. Because, honestly, it's not really about the Bears getting Justin Fields or about a real great football man and Rick Spielman wanting that player too. It's all about me and how I like Justin Fields, and so did the Bears, and so did the Vikings, and I didn't like Mac Jones, and nor do the Bears, nor do the Vikings. And, he'll end up having a great career for himself. But it was like, I saw that, and I gleefully thought, okay, confirmation of my eye as a football evaluator.
Well, I'm happy for you, because that wasn't initially how I looked at it, but I will look at it that way if you'd like. All about Mully. That's okay. I get it. You know what I thought it was interesting is because, you know, it's inevitable, the comparisons between the 2017 draft and this year's. And in 2017, didn't you feel part of the deflation Chicago felt in looking at what Ryan Pace just did? Did he really give up that many draft picks to move up to get Mitch Trubisky? He didn't have to. And why did we think that? Because the 49ers weren't interested, according to reports, in Mitch Trubisky. So that almost made you question the wisdom of that move and the evaluation of that quarterback. Now, likewise, when you know that the Minnesota Vikings, who do drafting very well, that they're very good at this, and player evaluation is one of Rick Spielman's strengths, when you know how fixated they were on wanting to do the same thing that you did, it almost makes it even better, because you got your guy and you got the satisfaction of getting a guy that you knew the Vikings wanted. So that's even a double whammy. And it was all about confirming your own evaluation. So it was good for Mully too. So, hey, the trifecta.
I'm joking about that, but I do feel that it's a huge lift to know that that there were other people that felt the same way as the Bears did about Justin Fields. He, you know, it's a big difference when you come out of a draft with a Mitchell Trubisky, and this is before his career even began, and you feel like you overdrafted, because Peter King was in the war room with the Niners, and he's telling the story about how, oh, the Bear, where, who do they want? Well, tell them to hold on. Let's squeeze more out of them. That whole kind of narrative that came out the day after might have been worse than the actual draft pick, if that's humanly possible, because it wasn't a pick that worked here. But it was the idea that they were rubes and being taken advantage of, and that was not a good feeling for the guy that was running the franchise. And at that point, there were some really bad picks. And I'm not saying that any of those bad picks have gone away, but at least Roquan has worked out as a first-round pick. They gave up a couple picks for Khalil Mack, so you can't judge him. But to move up to the 11th pick, again, not to the second pick, but to the 11th pick, from 20. You know, when you're picking 20, it means you had a decent year. You're in the bottom part of the draft. There are 32 teams, and it's balanced so that the worst team is supposed to have the first pick so they can get better. It's all about the competitive balance of the league, which never ends up working out, because you often see the same teams in the draft lottery all the time, and you don't see a team like New England, even with the awful season they have, anywhere higher than 15, right? In the middle of the pack. Right. So I think that go in being 20 and moving up to 11 to get a player who really was underdrafted. In other words, could have been drafted higher than that, not overdrafted. I think that, you know, Trey Lance probably would be the guy that got overdrafted this year. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a great player. It just means that the value of the spot probably should have been a little bit higher than coming away with a guy with really no track record. Doesn't mean, you know, they got time, they got Garoppolo there, they'll be able to develop him and work with him. We had an interesting conversation with Dan and Layla at the end of the show where they were talking about, you know, just get Justin Fields on the field. And Dan mentioned Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning. Those were different situations. Those were teams that were in complete rebuilds at the time they got their quarterbacks. And they were high in the draft for a reason, because they were in a complete rebuild. And that's a different situation than the one the Bears are in, who traded up to 11 to get a quarterback that probably should have gone earlier, but is a guy that you now want to have the best career possible. And by the way, you want to be able to go into a season and have a winning season. I don't think Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are in trouble. Get back to me if they end up winning four games, because then maybe they're in trouble.
Yeah, I don't think they drafted like a regime that's worried about getting fired. I do think this. I mean, there's going to be good debate and opinions on both sides of whether or not Justin Fields should start from day one and whether or not they should wait. In my opinion, and I think our opinion, is that they should wait. But it's to keep an open mind as well, because it may be obvious, as Matt Nagy alluded to, that you'll know when the right time has arrived, because it will be obvious to everyone that he is the best player in the building in terms of, you know, the quarterback they make the biggest difference. And I think that you have to keep an open mind. But here's the reason that I think we didn't mention with Dan yesterday, and I think it comes up whenever this conversation will happen over the next couple months. When you designate or anoint a rookie quarterback like Justin Fields, your starter, like within 48 hours or even a short period of time after you draft him, I think to some degree you are setting him up not to fail, but it's better to do it the other way, because the expectations that you are setting by anointing him the starter, now if he doesn't live up to those, or if he initially takes a while to acclimate himself to the professional game or whatever it is, he's a rookie, for goodness sakes, then all of a sudden the perception becomes around him, well, you know, he's not exactly what we thought he was, or he's got a long way to go. Whereas if you delay that process and you say you're going to wait and see and let it play out, smarter. It's just smarter, because then there are no expectations that he's going to fail to meet, and you don't have to worry about that part of it. And that may seem like an inconsequential part of it, but anybody who's ever spent any time in any football city, as passionate as Chicago, anywhere, knows the pressure externally that is created when you draft a first-round pick who plays quarterback. So that's another reason why I think it's just it's smarter to just wait and see.
The NFL is a meritocracy. You are supposed to be starting not based on draft position, based on the quality of your play. Yep. So let the guy win the job. That's all we're talking about here. Let the guy win the job. I liked what Matt Nagy said. When it's time for him to play, everyone will know it. Now, I hope that's based on him. I hope that's not based on Andy Dalton, which is, it's possible that it could be based on Andy Dalton. You know, when Mitch Trubisky played as a rookie, you got four starts out of Mike Glennon, and it became apparent you aren't going to win any games with Mike Glennon. And you had to go to Mitch Trubisky because Mike Glennon couldn't play and you needed a lift for the team at that point. I think it's a different situation. I don't know that Andy Dalton can play, but I think that you did sign him. You did say that he's going to start. And now if indeed he's beaten out in training camp, if it's not even close, then Justin Fields deserves the job. But sure, if he's not quite there yet, if there are things you think need to be improved and you don't want to throw him into, you know, what you're talking about, that situation, I got no problem with that either. I think that it's, again, if he wins the job, then great, let him have the job. But handing him a job because you traded up for him is bad for everyone. It just sets the wrong tone in the locker room.
And Andy Dalton, I'm not going to sit here and try to, you know, get people to believe in good old number 14. He's not Mike Glennon, though, and I think that is a quick assumption. It's easy to do here because that's the last time an example. Yeah, but he's a much more qualified for the position, and he frankly deserves a lot more respect than to be compared to Mike Glennon, who just has never been the quarterback that Andy Dalton has throughout the course of his career. So that will play out. We'll continue to talk about it. There are a lot of opinions, but the Bears are pretty set at quarterback. Molly, I wanted to ask you this before we move on. In the way that we sort of confirm that the Bears did the right thing by drafting Justin Fields because the Vikings wanted him, and you could have seen him drafted anywhere between 3rd and 11th in the way that he was, yeah, the 49ers took Justin Fields. I'm not sure a lot of people would have been that shocked.
Right.
Do you think that on the other end of the spectrum, it should concern people the fact that not any other teams were looking at Tevin Jenkins as a left tackle, and they were maybe on an island here, at least according to reports, maybe more will come out, but I'm not aware of other teams that were projecting him as a left tackle. The Bears moved up 13 spots to get him. Now they're going to apparently play him there. Do you want to be on an island and be the only team that sees that, and does it concern you because of the same things we you know are saying confirm your opinion about Justin Fields? Does it make you less certain about your projections for Tevin Jenkins on the left side?
Yeah, you know, I think I said it yesterday. He wouldn't have been available at 39 if other teams thought he could play left tackle. It's just too valuable a position and too much of a good strike ratio position. So, yeah, I mean, that is definitely an issue. It worries me a bit. You know, we played the audio from Lewis Reddick yesterday that the tackles they had weren't good enough to be able to play behind. So I would imagine that he'll be better than what they had because he's, you know, a higher drafted player. What was Chuck Leno, a seventh round pick?
Seventh round pick, yeah.
Who had a great career for himself here, given the fact of how he came into the league. But it's going to be fascinating to see what they do and whether Tevin Jenkins is deemed starter from day one at left tackle. It looks that way. It sure looks that way now since they don't have another guy on the roster that that has taken a snap at that position. So you worry that might be a projection that isn't good for the player. But there are guys on the open market, not great players, but guys that can give you some cover. There are swing tackle types that you might get away with and could be upgrades. This is a salary cap cut. This is not, you know, if Charles Leno Jr. wasn't making the amount of money he's deemed to make, and again, you save $9 million because you designated a post-June 1 cut, even though he's free now and able to sign wherever he wants to go. It's just a salary cap maneuver, so you designate it post-June 1 and you get all this money in return. It's really all about, I mean, in the best of all worlds, if the guy wasn't making this much money, if you weren't abutting the cap, you might have kept him. You might have thought, you know, maybe we get a bounce back year from him. But I felt, given the amount of money and given their cap situation, it was just a question of time before they cut him. I didn't know what else they could do. It just seemed like they had another alternative, maybe not ideal, but they had one. And it was just too much money to give to a guy that you felt bad about. But, I mean, David, if you're a defensive coordinator in the NFC North, aren't you licking your chops at the idea of the two tackles they'll be lining up?
If Andy Dalton is the quarterback, with due respect, yes.
Sure.
Because you don't have the mobility issue or concerns that if you had Justin Fields. Now, it's catch 22. So if you have Justin Fields behind center, you feel okay from a – he's a rookie and you can maybe confuse him, but you know what? If you get a pass rush, he's going to be able to elude it. So right now, if you have rookie left tackle and right tackle and Andy Dalton is quarterback, you better believe they're going to be coming after the Bears in a big way off the edge, because that is how you're going to attack and make them earn their way and prove that they belong.
All right, we're going to bring in Big Z next. We'll run it by him. We'll ask him about any of the options and we'll get a pulse on what's happening with this team. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Brand Big. Biggs Time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs Time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs Time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the Bears don't have a left tackle, or at least they have a left tackle that hasn't played left tackle. They have a rookie left tackle, or they have a left tackle that's never taken a snap before in the league. It doesn't seem like there's an obvious candidate. Are we missing something?
What we could be missing is the possibility that here very soon they could maybe venture into the marketplace and sign some guy that's played a little bit of ball on the into the left side of the line. But if you add up the number of career starts in the NFL that the current players on the roster have at left tackle, you get to zero. Sort of a trick question after the release of Charles Leno on Monday. 93 consecutive starts for Leno, all at the left tackle position. And they believe that Tevin Jenkins can play both tackle positions. I think there's probably an element of risk in not having some coverage in the event that they determine, hey, you know what, maybe Tevin's better off at right tackle. And in talking to a number of different teams, everyone I spoke to had Tevin Jenkins pegged as a right tackle. The Bears could be right. They could be out in front of this thing. They could have a better eye on what this kid's future is. But oftentimes, not necessarily always, but oftentimes, if a guy's going to play left tackle in the National Football League, that's where he winds up playing for the majority of his college career. And it was the other way around at Oklahoma State. 26 starts at the right tackle position. Did make 7 on the left side for the Cowboys.
All right, Brad, so if you go to the free agent route and Russell Okung, Alejandro Villanueva, Jason Peters, Sam Young, these are the names. Eric Fisher's injured. Are there others out there besides those veterans who might come with a hefty price tag as well and guys who aren't on rosters right now?
Well, Villanueva, there was a report last week. It sounds like he may sign with the Ravens here very soon. Baltimore has been a master of manipulating the compensatory draft pick formula and waiting for the deadline to pass for signing free agents to not count against the formula is something the Ravens are good at. So they may have a deal locked and loaded for Villanueva, the former Steeler, to bring him on board. Eric Fisher, number one overall pick in 2013, rehabbing from a torn Achilles. That's a tough injury. A guy like Fisher, too, I would have to think if he's going to sign with the team, it's going to be with the understanding, hey, when I'm healthy, I'm the starter at left tackle. You know, this is a guy that got a ring in Kansas City, has made an awful lot of money. I don't know that guys like Eric Fisher are up for a backup role to a rookie in the event that the rookie plays well like the team expected. Left tackles don't come cheap. It could be that they're confident and they can roll with Tevin Jenkins. One other thing I've thought about, guys, is when you look at their projected tackles right now with Tevin Jenkins on the left side and Jermaine Ifedi at right tackle, I can't help but think they may want to be in the market for an experienced blocking tight end. Cole Kmet should take a big step forward here in year two. Jimmy Graham, for all his strengths, can't block his own shadow. So maybe going out and getting a veteran tight end that's a blocker that might be able to help out these guys on the edges would make sense for the quarterbacks. all of this is, we could talk about a shopping list, you know, but it's like heading down Rodeo Drive when you're overdue on a couple of credit cards. It's hard to do a whole lot of shopping there. And the Bears cap situation is very tight. I think the Leno move was at least partially motivated by $9 million in cap savings, and they could have more moves that they need to make to free up cap space in terms of potential restructures where they're not saving money, they're just moving the numbers around for Robert Quinn and Eddie Jackson.
Brad, do you need tackles if Justin Fields is your starter? Is this an indication that they're going to have a very mobile quarterback and no one needs to block because he can handle it all by himself?
Patrick Mahomes is pretty mobile, and things didn't go so well for him in the Super Bowl. By the way, I think the Bears played down in Tampa Bay this year too. Yeah, they and you look at it right now, and again, like I talked to a GM the other day, and he's like, you know what, if they think Tevin Jenkins can play left tackle, that this is the move they probably will make, and he was looking ahead to this Leno thing. And I said, well, geez, do you think he can play left tackle? He's like, well, we looked at him as a right tackle, but not everybody sees everything the same way. But just going into the season, let's just project. If Jenkins is the left tackle and Afedi's at right tackle, and with Afedi getting $4.25 million this year, I think he's probably going to be able to hold off Larry Borum, the fifth-round pick, at least for a while. Fifth-round picks, you don't draft them and expect them to start at tackle right away. Just look at their tackles. Other teams are going to look at this group sight unseen on Jenkins and say this is like bottom quarter of the league in terms of just offensive tackles, right? I mean, defensive coordinators are going to be licking their chops. I want to see how I can attack these guys and see how they respond. I think, and the Bears have to be expecting that if this is the plan without a veteran to come in here.
So the most common conversation that will revolve around the Bears moving forward, Brad, will be when to start Justin Fields. And yesterday we got a wide range of opinions throughout the league for going from, you know, day one to wait it out. And it bears repeating that this is a fluid situation. Matt Nagy has said that he'll know when the right time is. But of all the things that you look at how do you view this in terms of what Justin Fields – Will how quickly that ascension may come?
Yeah, I think calling it a fluid situation is probably wise, that there's no reason to put a governor on him, right? There's no reason to slow down the development for Justin Fields. But at the same time, you've seen it happen around the league where some of these rookie quarterbacks or young quarterbacks have been pushed into action too soon, and it can really mess them up. It can harm their development. It can damage their confidence, and then you get the public turning on a guy, and all of a sudden it goes from, you know, Ryan Pace's masterstroke move to a terrible decision to trade up for the guy. So I would be a little surprised right now if he's the week one starter. Just in the people who are pushing him to play, I mean, they haven't even seen him put a Bears helmet on yet or seen Andy Dalton in a Bears helmet. Neither of them have been on the practice field with the Bears. But I also don't think there's any way the idea is for Justin Fields to come in and sit his entire rookie season. That would be an even greater surprise to me because although that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing for the Bears, because if something like that happened, it could signal that the Red Rifle is taking the town by storm.
Brad, who's cut next? I mean, are they done clearing out room with salary cap stuff? Are we looking at receiver competition? What happens next in terms of their cap?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, I think you could be looking at some restructures to free up some cap space with guys like Robert Quinn and Eddie Jackson. Those are moves that I thought potentially could happen back in March. They truthfully, they don't have very many veterans on the roster right now where they could cut them and clear up a bunch of cap space, at least guys that aren't absolutely critical to the operation. I believe they're going to keep Jimmy Graham, so he would not be an option. Obviously, they've got to keep Akeem Hicks at this point, especially after losing Kyle Fuller on the back end. So he's almost certainly not an option. In terms of a minor move that would free just a little bit of money, you know, Anthony Miller's going into year four. They had made it known that he was available in trade. Obviously, nobody saw enough on tape to want to fork over a draft pick for him prior to the draft, with it being a strong class of wide receivers. He could potentially be in jeopardy here, but I don't think we're going to see other significant names to follow Charles Leno. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but it's not like they've got a lot of options. Some of these guys, you could say, hey, cut them, let's clear some space, and they'd end up hurting the cap space more if they made a move like that. And that would be referencing a guy like Nick Foles, who they still owe $5 million guaranteed to. So I think to get to cap space, the more likely scenarios at this point are renegotiating some contracts, which will just kick some of these cap commitments further down the road and become greater obstacles for the team moving forward.
Great stuff, Brad. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Yep.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. I'm sorry, David, you want to say something?
Yeah, it was just interesting to remember. You know, the Leno decision, the Bears will miss the person probably more than the player. It was not just a financial move. There were football reasons that contributed to why they were so willing to part with him, because he had a relative decline last year, and so they feel like it's an upgrade no matter what direction they go.
All right, we're going to bring in Bruce Levine next. We'll talk more about the horrors on the South Side, and good God, maybe he'll share with us some information about when Oscar Colas can get to town next year is the answer. It's Mully and Hoff, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
I wonder if you understand the overindulgence of people like myself and some fans about the early season slump.
I don't know how to control the outside narrative. Tell people to hold tight, I guess. You'll find a way on the radio, I know.
It's just me. I'm speaking for me alone.
Okay. Well, then no comment.
Inside the Clubhouse, co-host alongside our own David Hall.
We've got a lot of baseball conversation to cover in the next 2 hours. How are you doing this morning, buddy?
Great being with you, like we are every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball on Inside the Clubhouse.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Hall on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to Bruce Levine on the Score Hotline. Is presented by Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Morning,
good
Bruce.
Morning, guys. Yeah, difficult days on the South Side with all these injuries that have occurred since spring training. Very difficult. Where would you like to begin?
Well, let's start with that. I mean, obviously, You look at the news on Louis Robert, really depressing, and Aloy is pretty much on the same time frame. The two of them, it's going to be a long time before we see them again. And then you take into account that Adam Engel is in a situation where he's had a setback, and we're starting from scratch with him. Do they need to make a move, Bruce? Do they have enough outfielders to get through here?
Well, there's a couple of variables when you ask a question like that, Mike. Yes, they probably do need to make a move, but this is only the first week of May. Teams don't usually make trades. They don't even consider them until Memorial Day, and then they start moving toward the trading deadline August 1st. So from the perspective of some of the teams that are not performing well or not expected to perform well, or general managers that are willing or looking to steal prospects from you that don't expect to contend. There's few teams out there right now that fall into that category. One of them might be the Miami Marlins when they have a guy in his last year of the contract, Starling Marte, who has been injured, has a broken rib, and is coming back from that. He is a viable candidate to be traded. He's a very good outfielder. He's a home run hitter. He has speed. He's in the last year of the contract. He falls into that category. Charlie Blackman with the Colorado Rockies, who would love to dump out of his money owed to him, has almost $51 million left on contracts running through next year with a buyout for the following year. So even though he's still a viable player, aging a bit at age 36, still a dominant player in a lot of ways, these are the type of guys that Rick Hahn and the Chicago White Sox will be looking at after they see the internal people that are possible to take over and checking out the Billy Hamiltons and checking out the, you know, Leury Garcias to see if that's going to be viable for a whole season.
Is Adam Eaton moving to center field a viable option in your mind, Bruce? Do you think they're considering that? And is there anybody else on this roster in this experimental phase, in this, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, that you could see given a shot in center field?
The answer to the first part is Eaton was a center fielder, has not been for a while. His best position is right field. Can he play center field? Yeah. Will he play all-star center field defensively? You know, it's hard to say at this point of his career. I would say it's an option, but it's not something they want to do. And then they have to come up with one of the other guys to be corner outfielders. I think, you know, internally, Adam Engel is going to be your center fielder, but you're looking at most likely him not coming back till sometime in June. That's a long way away. So that's a month, and then you're also dealing with a guy that's had an injury to his hamstring that occurred twice. Same injury in his rehab. He tweaked it to the point where it was just as bad as the first, and now you're sitting waiting for him until June. So people are looking at offense and say, well, how do you replace Robert, you know, his speed and his home run ability? To me, it's the defense. You're trying to replace one of the very best defensive players in the league, and he's only in his second year. So that's the key for the White Sox in protecting themselves in close games and, you know, being able to defend. You know, you look at the outfield and you go, how are they going to defend properly without Robert?
David would like to see Andrew Vaughn troll that center field position, I think.
No,
he's going to play shortstop. No. They're going to move Tim to center field. And because, you know, we do live in the age where people say everyone plays multiple positions. Yes, that is true. Everyone can play multiple positions, but can they play them well? That's the difference between most people and Ben Zobrist. Not everybody plays every position well.
Chris Bryant does.
Yeah, he would be I think we should tweet that out, that you're proposing the trade for Chris Bryant to the White Sox, which probably makes a lot of sense if you think about it. No, if he doesn't play in Chicago, okay? If Chris Bryant doesn't play for the Chicago Cubs, right? And he plays for, what, Seattle Mariners. That's a very viable thing to think about right now, you know, considering the situations for both teams.
What would that cost?
To the fan bases?
I'm saying if you were to make a move for a player like that, you'd have
right
to give
now,
up a lot of assets.
Right now or in July?
Yes.
July would be less.
July, obviously.
July would be less. Right now would be a lot more because you're dealing from weakness. You're dealing from extreme weakness. You're gonna. What do the Cubs need more than anything else? They haven't been able to produce over the last 11 years. It would be starting pitching that they would want. And the White Sox have some depth in their organization in starting pitching with young pitchers that aren't even on the roster that are considered a major league talent.
All right, well, remind me then, why would it be prohibitive for the Cubs to do a deal with the Sox if it's good for both teams?
It's not. You're right, David. It isn't. It's not. It's something that I thought about before you guys even called this morning, because it does make a lot of sense for both teams. But, you know, since that Jose Quintana trade, where now people think the Cubs got absolutely annihilated in that deal, you know, there's always that hesitation in city that the next Sammy Sosa trade or the next John Garland trade or the next trade is going to blow up in the other team's face right in the same city.
All righty, Bruce. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate
it. All right, guys. Have
Good stuff,
great
Bruce.
One.
That's Bruce Levine, the Scores baseball expert. We're going to bring in Tommy Hotovy next. We're going to talk about Cubs pitching and where they're at, and who's pitching today. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.